so we're on Gimelamid Beis, 23b, 7 lines from the bottom. Ba'imine Rav Yosef, Rav Nachunia, page 46, 23b, 7 lines from the bottom. Okay, you have the place, Robert?
Yeah.
Okay, so ba'imine, so I'll pause periodically. So the first stop will be around 20 lines from now. So ba'imine Rav Yosef, Rav Nachunia, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef posed the following question to Rav Yehuda. Can a person go to sleep at night and leave his tefillin underneath his head? In other words, is that like too much disrespect to leave the tefillin there? So Takam Lo Rogatav Lo Kamabayli. So he said, leaving it under the feet, that I know, that's definitely a no-no. He says, Shinoi Behem Minhag Bizayon. Ki Kamabayli Takam Rashotav. My question is it okay to leave the tefillin under the head? Why? So that was the question he posed to Rabbi Huda. So Amar Lay, so Rabbi Huda answered, Hachi Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Huda remember studied by Rav, and then when Rav passed away, he went to study by Shmuel. So he says, Hachi Amar Shmuel Mutar Afilu Ishtoimel. He says, you're allowed to do that. And even if his wife is in the bed with him, it means that they're going to have conjugal relations. So it comes out from the Mefarshim and from the Gemara later on, not today, that you're talking about that the tefillin must have been kli shebetoch kli. In other words, our kiss shebetoch kiss. In other words, the tefillin are in a double wrapper, so to speak.
Well, still wrapped, the box.
Right. Well, or it could be like, you know, one bag and then another bag, like that. So he says permissible is not disrespectful. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So the Gemara says four lines from the bottom. Meitvei, and this was a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says Lo yaniach dam tefilav tachat merak lo tav nishnoi b'hem min bizayon. Person shouldn't leave tefillin underneath his feet because that's like disrespectful. That's so far so good. Abal manichan tachat merashot tav. Also, that's so far so good. You can leave it under your head. B'mayta ish toimo asur. So now we're running into problems. The Braisa says, so again, Rabbi Yehuda said that you can leave it on the head even
with
in Ish Toimo. Here the Bryce says you absolutely cannot do that. If there was a ledge coming out, I don't know, from the bed or somewhere else, and the ledge is three tefachim above the bed or three tefachim below the bed, so it counts as a different rishus, and you could leave the tefillin on that ledge. But the basic halakha that we're learning is that
don't put it on the floor.
Well, certainly not on the floor, but even under your head, not allowed according to the Braisa. So the Gemara says Tiyufta the Shmuel Tiyufta. So it looks like Shmuel is all upkishlak. He's history. So Amar Rava Afagav the Tani Tiyufta the Shmuel. Rava says even though we learn a Braisa that's against Shmuel and against Shmuel's an Amara. So you have a Braisa against him, a statement of Tanaim, that's history. He says Hilchot HaKavate. Notwithstanding all of the foregoing, the halakha nevertheless does follow Shmuel. And a person is allowed to leave his tefillin underneath his head. So my taima, why is that? So the Gemara says on the top line of Chavdal and Amal 24, the top line, Kulina Turinu Tfei Adif, and the Bach has the words, where's the Mibizione, that when we're balancing out Shemira, in other words, on the one hand we have like Bizayon, possibility of disrespecting the tefillin, but on the other hand there's a concern that either people may steal the tefillin or the mice might take the tefillin or something like that. So as between those two considerations, Shemira versus Bizayon, in other words, the concern for Shemira is going to win out, so I'm going to leave it underneath the head. Now,
with the wipes.
Right, even with the wife. Now, the Pnei Yehoshua, though, asks, how can it be that we'd be poskening, like Shmuel against the Braisa? So the Pnei Yehoshua says that we learned the Braisa, or you learned the Braisa earlier in Chaf Gimel Mud Aleph, it talks about going to the bathroom with the tefillin. So the Gemara said that you leave the tefillin in a notch in the hole outside the bathroom. But then the Gemara says that if they were afraid that mice or somebody's going to take the tefillin, so you could bring it into the bathroom with you, I think, and then cover it over. So that's the same thing here, that the concern for Shmira outweighs the concern for Bizayon. You got it? Okay, so we're on Chaftal and Amalal 24a. We're on the top line. You got a set? Okay, so the Gemara now says Vehecha Manach Lehu. Where exactly does he leave the tefillin? Now the Gemara is going to say when he says underneath the head, does not mean directly underneath the head. We'll see what's going on with this. We said that person could leave his tefillin underneath his head, and okay. So the Gemara says Vehecha Manach Lehu, and we said we're talking about it's kiss shebetoch kiss. It's one container within another container. So Vehecha Manach Lehu. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya ben Kar Lekeset Shlo Kenegit Rosho. So Yirmiya says, "Ben Kar." Hello, Fernie. We're in the middle of Shir. We're on line two on the Chafdal and Amud Aleph. Welcome. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya ben Kar Lekeset Shlo Kenegit Rosho. Kar in this case is the item that's like the lower item, like the mattress here would be the Kar, and the Keset would be that you need to borrow have the right here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What's your name again? Yes, you can welcome you. So we're on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, point 3, okay? We're a little bit sugi, I'll pause in a few minutes maybe and bring you up to date, okay? So the Gemara says, Ben Karla Keset Shlo Keneged Rosho. You leave the pillow between the mattress and the pillow, but Shlo Keneged Rosho, not directly behind the head. In other words, that's too much of a desire to leave
under the bed.
Yeah, I'm using the
under the head.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, Bahatani Rabbi Chia, but Rabbi Chia taught a Braisa, Manichan Bekobatachan Rashatav. That a person leaves a kova here, like literally means a half, and it means in the bag, if you leave the pillow. Apparently, the pillow bed they had on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, volume 3, okay? So their bags must have looked something like a kova. I don't know what their kova volume looked like. But he says, the Braisa, Manichan Bekova, Tachat Marashotav. So the Braisa says you could leave it in a bag underneath the head. So in other words, we just said that you shouldn't leave it directly underneath the head, but the Braisa says you could leave it there. So the Mafik lay the Morsha, the Kova Lavar. The Gemara explains. I'll put in 6 lines, just give me another 6-7 lines, I'll put. Okay, think of all the questions. So the Gemara says, the Mafik lay the Morsha, the Kova Lavar. You're going to leave the bulge in the bag with the Tillin are outside. So those we say that underneath the head doesn't mean that someone sells underneath the head. But the part with the Tillin are will bulge out away. Now, just in the 6 lines, I'll come to you, Robert, okay? So, Bar Kapara, Tzir Lei Bekilta, Umafik Amor Shem Labar. Bar Kapara would wrap the Bekilta as like a canopy of the bed and leave the where it protruded, you know, outside, or with it protruding outside. Rav Shisha Berezer Ravini, Manachu Asher Shifa, Rav Shisha for the son of Ravini would leave them on a stool, Uparis Sudri Bavayu. In other words, they have one covering on the stool's bag, and then to make a kiss, with no kiss, he puts another cover on it. Amar Rav Nuna, Rav Rav Yosef, Zimna Chara Ta'in, Kami de Rava. So Rav Nuna, son of Yosef, said, once I was saving for Rava, but Amar Li, Zio, I could leave Tfilin. He says, go, bring me my Tfilin. Ba'ashkatina Ben Karla Keset, Shlokin and Yavrosho. I discovered the Tfilin on the bed, between the mattress and the pillow, not directly behind his head, where his head would have lied. Bahava Yadana, Yom Tavila Hava. And I knew what Rashi learned. That night before her was Rav's wife's tefillah. In other words, presumably the Rav had relations with his wife the night before. Because it's a special mitzvah to have relations with your wife when she comes back from the mikvah. So in other words, it's Leil on a top. So I knew that was the day for her tefillah. Ula Agmura Nalach Lamaisu was the Abbot. And the way I understood it was that he was teaching me Halach Lamaisu. In other words, there's a difference between when a Chacham teaches you a Halacha in a scholastic setting. Another where he actually conducts himself in sort of ruling. So here you see that Rava, he kept his tefillin being Karla Keset, Shlokin Eged Rosho, and it was not directly behind his head. And even though, presumably in 2 wrappings, and presumably even though he had had relations with his wife the night before, that's where the tefillin were. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. We'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic idea we were learning is, where do you keep your tefillin? Are you holding the gap, or are you just putting
it on? I'm a deal.
Okay, you're fine. Anyway, we have a very tough situation here. Anyway, so we were talking about where you might keep your tefillin. So we had a question. So you leave your tefillin underneath your head. And the word says, if you leave it underneath your feet, definitely not. What about underneath the head? So it came out that you could leave it underneath the head. Not directly underneath the head. And even though there is an element of like zilzul with that, but nevertheless, the shmira, like you can turn to guarding the tefillin, assuming that you're in a situation like that, I'm afraid people will take it or mice will grab it, that outweighs the concerns for whatever the desire would be. But it can't be directed behind the head, because that's going to shoot out. Okay. You're going to sleep at night, and you want to keep it in the same place. So what safer place can it be under the bed? Nobody's going to take it there. But to actually leave it behind the head is not allowed. In other words, it's going to protrude out a little bit.
It's in the pouch.
It's in the pouch, right. We said it's double wrapped in the pouch. Discomforting.
Yeah.
Well, first of all,
if you're going to put it under your head, wouldn't it make more sense to put it under the pillow?
No, that's what we're saying. It's like Karla Kesset.
Now we're discussing all things that's like
It's between Beikar Lekesef, between the mattress and the pillow, where he's got. But even between the mattress and the pillow, it's not directly behind his head. It's protruding out a little bit. Because in other words, that's too much disrespect. Even if it's underneath the pillow, to have your head.
Why would it be disrespectful?
You know, you're using the tefillin like to support your head.
No. I thought the idea was. You're keeping it.
We're a safe place, secure, that's true.
Right. Instead, you have it under the pillow.
Right.
Visible,
right.
But if it just happens to be below your head, it's
But the Gemara thinks that's disrespectful. In other words, so it's not directly behind my head, but the Gemara says my head is on top of it. That's not a tablet for the filling. So because in other words, like
I can see feet. Let's say you had
a sefer Torah. Would it be? Do you think it'd be appropriate to have a sefer Torah on top of underneath your pillow?
It could also be that it's not the proper way that you wear it. So when you go to sleep at night with it, you also mezalzel the tefillin. Because think about when you wear your tefillin during the day, you always make sure it's properly on. Now you're sleeping with it.
You're not wearing it. You're wrapped up. It's in a bag.
You're not sleeping.
Anyway, the bottom line is, it's like disrespectful, like the cylinder underneath your head. It's not the most respectful place for it. But under these circumstances, provided it's not directly behind the head, it'll protrude out a little bit. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, we've got to move on. So that's a very good question. I have the same question with that. If you look at Rashi, he says on the fourth arrow line, he says, Yom Tfilah Hava, Yom Shetavla Ishto, Zahavla Leel Tashmish, Vayakashmul Damarakin Ishto Noch. So I mentioned this to Rabbi Packer today. Rabbi Packer thought, and I didn't look at it, but he mentioned some other of the Mepharshim, I didn't look them up, but it sounds like Rabbi Packer said that it could be not. You see, the old Gemara says is that he knew
he
went Yom Tfilah Hava. So who's Tavla? So Rabbi Packer thought that Rava had gone to the Mikvah that day. It was maybe like the Takanas to Ezra. And he knew that Rava had gone to the Mikvah the next day. You know, that would be... That's the way Rashi learns. But I'm saying there could be another way of learning. That's the way Rabbi Packer was
saying. Maybe because they used to wear different clothing than women.
Yeah, but it's like usually like when the timing for a woman in the mikveh is like, you know, you keep it shiloh hay. Okay, we gotta move on. Okay, let's move on.
No. We hold off a little interesting ideas. We gotta move on. Okay. Okay. Now, we're six lines above where it gets wide on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. All right. So by me, Rabbi Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Mechuyim, Rav Yehuda. Shnayim sheshen v'bin ta'achad. Malach ziyach zir panav yikra kriyshma. Ziyach zir panav yikra kriyshma. You have two people, totally undressed in bed, underneath a blanket. So the Gemara says, what if can each one like turn their face away from the other one and recite Shema? Okay, please. So he says, so Amalei. So Rabbi Yehuda said to him, Hachi Amar Shmuel. So again, we have Rabbi Yehuda teach me a lot about Shmuel. Ba'afilu Ishtomimel. In other words, even if his wife would be on the blankets with him, it's fine. In other words, his wife is undressed underneath the blankets, but he's turning away from her. He can recite Kriyat Shema. So Maki brought up Yosef. So if Yosef asks a strong question, and Akapta is a strong question usually based on Svara, Ishto will move by Acher. In other words, the implication is, please, I don't like noises, okay? Maki brought up Yosef, Ishto will move by Acher. You mean his wife, and it goes without saying somebody else could be under the blankets? Abrava, I think, Pumfaker. Ishto Kagufo, Acher Lav Kagufo. In other words, his wife is Kagufo, and let's see what Rashi says on that. Ishto Kagufo, Baragilba, he's like accustomed to her. Look at Hiro Kuliha. He doesn't have, I don't know what this says about marital relations, but he doesn't have, like, he's not that aroused from the wife. The wife doesn't get him so sexually aroused. In other words, he's with her all the time, things like that. So it could be, he wants to say, that even though, who is it that quoted this? This was, and Shmuel, no, the Shmuel said, Pilu Ishto Imo, and we extrapolate from there that even then certainly somebody else would be permitted. He says, not necessarily the case. Maybe the wife is less of a concern, and even though it's a male that would be under the blankets, he might somehow get sexually aroused. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, well, please, let's have silence, then we'll pause in a little bit, okay? So the first wide line on the Gemara. So Meifei, so again, we have two opinions here in the Gemara. So Shmuel holds, Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, that hold, they all hold
that you have a green light if you turn your way away from the person that's next to you. Rav Yosef doesn't seem to hold that way. Okay, so Meifei, Shnayim Shiyishenim B'mita Afad. The Braisa says, two people are sleeping in one bed. Zematzir Panavakorev, Zematzir Panavakorev. The first Braisa says, each one will turn away from the other one and recite Shema. But Tanya Achriti, we learn a different Braisa, Hayashen B'mita, Ubanava B'nei Beito B'tzido. The person is sleeping in a bed, Ubanava B'nei Beito B'mo, the member of his household are next to him. He should not recite Shema. Unless there's a talit, a garment that interrupts between them. If the members of his household were ketanim, we'll see how young they are. Mutar. So the Gemara says, "Mishleimer of Yosef Lokasha." So we have one brisa that says, "I turn my back and I'm okay." Another brisa, turning the back doesn't do it. I need a garment breaking in. So Mishleimer of Yosef Lokasha. So Rav Yosef has no difficulty explaining these brises. Habi Ishto, the first brisa that says you turn your face away, that's his wife. Haba Afir, whereas the second brisa is talking about not his wife, other members of the household. So
can't do it.
Can't do it. El Shmuel Kasha, according to Shmuel, who says that anybody can turn your face away, you're good. How will he explain the brises? So Amalach Shmuel, so Rav Shmuel, so Shmuel would say to you, Rav Yosef, is it so simple for Rav Yosef? He's his bar plucked, in other words, my disputant. Bahatani, we learn the brisa, and this is a paraphrase. If he was sitting lying in the bed with Bnei Beito. Now, the way that Shmuel would say to you is Bnei Beito includes his wife. So the way Shmuel understands the second brisa, that would also be the wife is included there as well. So even according to Rav Yosef said, wife I concede, other people not. But the two brises, they're both talking about the wife, the way that Shmuel would say it. So what would Rav Yosef have to say? That the issue of the wife is subject to Malkoth and Panayim. One Tana holds you could turn your way from back to the wife and you say Shema. The other Tana holds you can't do it. That's why he'll have to say it. So the Didi Nami Tanayi. So according to me as well, that I hold that the whole shebang is permissible, that's also Malkoth and Panayim. So the way that Shmuel will explain the first brisa. Shmuel will say on the first white line, Shem Shishin B'mita, that could be a wife or anybody. In other words, the first brisa says it's permissible. So Shmuel will say that brisa means it could be your wife, it could be anybody in the bed. You just turn your face away and you're good. And the second brisa will also be talking about a wife or a member of the family, or another member of the family, and you can't turn your face away. That's the way Shmuel will learn the brises. And the but the emphasis is Rav Yosef, he will learn the brisa. L'shitato, he'll learn the first brisa is talking about the wife. He, Rav Yosef, will say the second brisa is not talking about the wife. Because Bnei Beito will say he's just a member of the family. Okay, let me just do another six lines and then I'll pause. Okay, and then leave me another 10 lines. I just want to make sure we have a lot of Gemara and we have a lot of things to talk about tonight. Amamar, Zemachzir Panavakori Kriyachma. Now, we said that a person can turn his face away, certainly with the wife, maybe for other people as well, and recite Shema. So he's underneath the blanket with somebody who's totally undressed, and he can turn his face away and recite Shema. So the Gemara says, Va'ika Agavot, but there's like the buttocks, in other words, like the, are touching one another. So, Mesayale the Rahuna. So that seems to support Rahuna. The Amar Rahuna, Agavot Abraham Yishum Erva. That Agavot, the buttocks are not viewed as an Erva, it's not taken that like you're touching a Makom Erva. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayale the Rahuna. Should we say the following, Mishnah supports Rahuna? So Rahuna says, Agavot or nothing. And we've had this before. Ha'isha Yoshev in the Kotzalah Chalat Taruma. A woman can sit and take challah, even though she's not wearing anything. She's totally unclothed. Sounds strange, but she's busy working with the dough and not wearing anything. And take the challah off, and even though she has to make a bracha, she can make the bracha. But they shechol l'chasot panei b'karka, because she can, they cover her genitals in the earth. In other words, the genitals will be covered in the earth. Aval lo ha'ish. But a man can't do that if his genitals would stick out. So the point is that we assume that the buttocks are sticking out, and nevertheless she's making the bracha. So Tirgumah, that would support Rav Huna. So Tirgumah Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, or she pen out tofot bekarka. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said it's not necessarily a proof. He say that like her genitals are like deeply embedded in the earth, and the agavot are also embedded in the dirt. Okay, I want to do another six lines, and I'll pause. Okay, we'll take a break at the next two dots. Okay, so Amar Mar. again, we're taking apart the brisa we quoted above. We said that if there were younger people in the household, so then there's no problem being in the bed with them. Even though the time of that brisa held that you need a talit mafsik if it's an older
thing,
but younger not. So the ankama, how old can the child be as to not be a problem? Amar Chista, she noket bat shalosh nei biyom echad. Chista said, if it's a girl, up until the age of 3 years and one day. In other words, if she's below 3 years and one day, you're in the clear. If she's older than 3 years and one day, you're not in the clear. But tinok bat shalosh nei biyom echad. If it's a male child, 9 years and one day. And then the Chazal teach us that when a girl is 3 years and one day, right, that's an akhidia. Or the son, or the boy is 9 years and one day, it's an akhidia. Now, there was a story I told you about Rabbi Mohammed Wasserman. He was Rosh Hashim from the Yeshiva Olei Torah, Bronowitz. And he was here in this country for about 18 months, between November of 1937 and May of 39. So everybody, he was here to raise money for his yeshiva, and everybody pleaded with him not to go back to Europe, and it was clear, like, you could see, how things were shaping up in Europe, but he insisted on going back because he wanted to be with his yeshiva, and unfortunately he was killed in the war. But when he was here, he had, like, a lot of, contacts with our society, the American culture, and they're usually not too positive. So, in one instance, he was staying in somebody's house, and it was a perfect person, but he had the bench. He was going to get to my house, he had the bench, and then the post 3-year-old child, or a child that was over 3, over 3 years, came in and wasn't wearing sleeves. And so Rav Elkanah didn't want a bench in the presence of that girl to be held with an erva, and he didn't want to say anything because it was the host child. So he ended up waiting there a very long time until the child left the room, and then he could bench. But the point is that you see, like sometimes people say, oh, there's a little too much going to make, blah, 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 blah. But you see, now, the halacha, that counts as an erva, you can see where it's going to have impact, in shul and things like that. Okay, let's get back to the point. So now, the Gemara says, now others say that when Tinoket bat Chadashah Shalom Yonokad, the Tinoket Shteh Shteh Shalom Yonokad. Others say no. The girl just has to be below 11 in a day, and the boy below 12 in a day to clear muster. So the Edi, Ad Kadei Shteh Mechonosur Tzimeh. So both of them, if at that point in time, if they're 11 or 12 and they have signs of puberty, so then you're stuck. Okay? So Amalei Rav Tanna Rav Ashi, Hatam Rava Amadav Shuma Hukkah Vate. So earlier, at the beginning of today's daf, we said about leaving the tefillin underneath the head. We said that the halakha is like Shmuel, even though the brisa was against him. He said, Hatamai, what about here? Here Shmuel said that, even though his wife's in the bed, he can turn his face away and recite Shema. So Amalei, so he said it was a halakha like him as well. So Amalei, Akhatu Bachadam Akhatam Akhinu, he says, is everything woven with what means? In other words, every case is different. El Haifa the Ibar Ibar, where we say the halakha is like Shmuel, there it is. Make low it more, low it more. But it wasn't stated that. One more line. Amalei Ravari, the Rav Papa, Sear Yosef Vigdomar. What if his hair, like the person has clothes on, but like pubic hair is coming through the clothes? So what's the halakha of that? So Karala, Sear, saying hair, and always Mishkafe halakha, but the hair is coming through.
Not Erba.
That's not the Erba. Okay, so let's just summarize a little bit what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, of course, okay? What we learned is, A, there's an idea of like turning your face away and being able to recite Shema, even though your wife is under the blankets with you, and according to the way Shmuel was learning, it can be even done by the family. Then you also have the idea that if the woman of the family is very young, then it would not make a difference. When you have two Shema kind of young, the youngest 3 and 9, which are a girl and a boy, 3 years of age, and 9 years of age, which is a boy, or 11 and 12, with signs of puberty. Right? Now, once they get to be 12 and 13, and don't even know signs of puberty. Okay, and then, okay, so who's your question? How's the question? I didn't get it so far.
It brings over here,
said, even if it's not his wife, then he's divorced.
Right?
No, that's not the other woman. In other words, the president was over there.
Right.
In other words, we're not thinking of the president as a bedroom, the woman is not his wife.
Okay.
In other words, so the choices are wife in the bed or another male in the bed. That's what we're talking about.
Then,
what?
Well,
what?
Thank you.
No question.
Okay, what's up? You know, it was sort of 3-year-old and 9-year-old not wearing clothes.
That's what you're talking
about. No, with 0 clothes on. Right. You know, with the case of the bench, in the case with the benching, there was a young girl, 5 years old. She was a host daughter. She was in a sleeveless dress. So we'll see. The arms are called an Erev.
It's not just Shema.
Not just Shema. It was even any brachot. Well, we're learning it by Shema, but we can extend it out to any brachot. Right. If there's an Erev there, you can't do it. Okay.
All right. Okay.
They asked to bring it back to them,
welcome to Shia. Okay, so we're around 8 lines from the bottom of Chapdala Namad Aleph. Okay, so it actually came to the middle of the very halakhah line, says Sugi now. So Amrav Yitzchak, Tefa fi Isha Erva. So Yitzchak says one Tefa, in other words, of a woman is erva, means if it's the part of the body that's exposed, it should be covered, and it's one tefach. The tefach is pressed out, but the tefach is usually we think like 4 inches in tefach. So if that space is exposed, then you can't say Shema in the presence of it, and you shouldn't say any Gemara Shavatush in the presence of it. He says, Lamai. So I'm jumping to the gun. For what halacha do we say to erva? He doesn't respect fully, but if it's kind of gazing at the person, he says, Vahamar Sheshit. So it says when Klal Yisrael, they go to war with Midian, and Midianite women had two stubborn men, and then they wore different jewelry, and Klal Yisrael, they had, you know, like new thoughts concerning these women, so they offered the jewelry the women were wearing as an offering to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So enlist the jewelry that's like that was used in the general area to the jewelry that wasn't used in the general area. Please listen, I need to sign these puzzles, okay? So if you don't hear something, just wait 10 lines, 50 lines, you get it, okay? So he says, if the Torah here is teaching you that if a person is like gazing, even at a woman's pinky, so it's like looking at Makom Erva. So it means like histakut means like gazing, like, you know, to get like sexual pleasure from it. Ella beishto. But so rather than Gemara says, we're talking about. Is there a way to sound effect? Ella beishto. Okay, can you mute yourself, Fern? Okay, Ella beishto in the Kriyashma. So Gemara says he's talking about even his wife. In other words, I'm allowed to be mistakel on my wife, but and for Kriyashma, that if the air was exposed, I can't say Kriyashma. So Amarav Chisda shok beisha erva. Now this is a shok. Now the question is, what is the shok? Shok means something with the leg. So the simple pshat will say the way the Mishnah passes, like from the knee up, is the shok. In other words, certain areas of the body are you know ipso facto erva, and other areas of the body depend upon the location, the place, and the time. So here the Gemara teaches me the shok is an erva. Now the emes is, and the Rabbi Simon will speak about this today. Like some want to say the shok means the whole leg. In other words, so if it means the whole leg, that's why like in Bnei Brak he was saying to the women, you know, they're fully, you know, covered from head to toe because they hold the leg as part of it. I don't want to walk around with the air exposed or they're wearing like big socks over the leg. But the Chazonish was this topic, whether that is or not, but the Mishnah Pasuk is like from the knee up is the air. So he says, Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Ruvi Shok, Ivri Naharot, like reveal the Shok, the leg, the thigh, and you pass through the rivers. The next Pasuk says,
Tigel Erba Teh Gam Tiret Erba Teh. Let your nakedness be revealed and your space shown. So the Gemara says, so you seem that that the shoke is considered the erba. Okay, now let me go on. Now so Amar Shmuel told the Isha erba. Shmuel says that a woman's voice is also an erba. So most posts can take it that it's a singing voice. You know, there is a line of thought that's even a speaking voice. But it says that the Kol Yishu singing voice, Nemar, Toleif Arev, Umarev Navel, your voice is beautiful, and you look beautiful. So you see that since, and Rashi points out in the first white line, in the Shabbat Krabbe Gavash, Shoni Atai Vahi, since the Pasuk praises it, you see that that's something like the you know, lays to lust. So, in terms of Kol, let me do one more line of the course. He says, Amar Sheshet, Sa'ar B'Isha Erva, the woman's hair is an erva. Your hair is like the goat, the bird, but it means something desirable. All right. Now, in terms of the Kol Isha, which is a topic all by itself, so the simple shot is that a man should not listen to the Kol Isha when he's singing. That's the simple shot of tomorrow. Now, this very much depends on, you know, your hashkafa and community that you belong to, but, you know, people who look for kulas by Kol Isha. So among the kulas that people try to work with, let's say the voice is electronically synthesized. And if I don't hear the woman singing directly, I hear it over the radio, the TV, or something like that. So some want to say that's not the Kol Isha. I'm not going to hear a Kol. I'm hearing something else. And then someone being excited for that is like the Gemara that I have later on, that Yodo Makira, I know her, and I know the woman. So if I don't know the woman, you know, you'd be sorry for one thing, I don't know the woman, and it's being artificially, you know, like electronically, it would also be a fifth for it being to cut it. And then another idea, and Rabbi Packer mentioned this to me today, is like Trey Kali Lamashamai. If you have two voices, so we usually say you can't distinguish two voices, so that would be also like a type of kula to get into it. Now, I will say this, that I spoke to this many, 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 many years ago to Reb Schechter. He said to me, people who look for kulas by Kol Isha are like looking for kulas by Lashon Hara. In other words, when the Kol Isha is completely wrong. You know? And that's what he was saying to me. Now, there's a tshuva from the Sri Deyesh. Sri Deyesh, with Yaakov Yefiel Weinberg, who lived in Montreux, Switzerland, he had a tshuva about, like Torah setting. People were singing like Torah songs, and he had a kula. You know, the way I recall it, it was like younger people. You know, that they could sing. You know, like he was singing. That you would hear some of the girls, and that would be permissible. Now, I don't have a lot of time with this, but it relates also like to congregational singing in a shul. Chassam Sofer says that women should not sing in a shul. Chassam Sofer says it's an aveira for them to sing in a shul. Yeah, but I think that's part of like the Young Israel movement. The Young Israel movement was they wanted to have like sort of like, you know, songs and things like that. And so in the typical Young Israel it's like congregational singing. So you'd have to be sorry, you know, some of the clues like from the Sri Deyesh. Well, that's what we spoke about. That's what we mentioned. That's what we said. Trey Kali Lamashamai. But the simple shot is Kol Isha. You're hearing the Kol Isha. You know, that's the simple shot. But then you have to come welcome, Ari. Have a seat. You're welcome. You can have a fresh seat here. We don't charge extra. Okay. We came with Kol Isha. We came with the language. Okay. Now the other thing is we said that Sar B'Isha Erva, the woman's hair is an erva. So So here's the difficulty. Like, let's say a woman, like we're talking about the song, but let's say a woman comes to shul and you have a machitza. But if she's not dressed appropriately and her hair is exposed, so then that poses a problem for the people that are on the other side of the machitza who want to take up the shema, they want to take the bar mitzvah kedusha, and it's problematic. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, he has a famous kula, which everybody quotes. It's like he wants to say that today, living around 1900, that the women are such prutzo that they, you know, they go around without covering their hair, that like the hair doesn't excite the person anymore. And he wanted to say that, like, not that the women should go around that way, but like that's cooler. But again, like the women walk into shul and if they're not covered up,
in other words, the arm should be covered to the elbow, you know, the skirts to the knees, at least. And then
takes the long way to wig and looks like no hair.
Right. Yeah, so that's the Gemara says the Sar, I mean, that's a different issue. I mean, in Akinami, among Sparty Polskin, they hold, they don't wear that. You should wear, like, this whole swami deal. But among the Ashkenazim, we hold them, we wear a shaitel. But you're right, it does look nice. But the bottom line is that the erva is the Sar, you know, in other words, the erva is like some ersatz thing that's on the head. In other words, the erva is the actual hair that grows in the woman. Not the saying, oh, I gotta run, I don't have a lot of time. Anyway, so the idea is, though, that, you know, if the woman's behind the machitza, so if the men can see through that machitza, even if it's glass, that's a problem. And, okay, let me move on. Now, and that's the way Rabbi Samuel was saying it today. Now, okay, we're 5 lines to the bottom, I'll come down to the mouth. Okay, I'm repeating, we were eating a Rebbe, Shlatsky Lab. So, Rebbe Tanya says, I saw Rebbe, he hung his tefillin on a hook. So, Lefei, I told us he loved, he told Lefei Yam. So, he asked a question on this from the Bryce. The Bryce says, if a person suspends his tefillin, his life should be suspended. It means, like, the tefillin is our lives, tefillin is the Torah, and if you're suspending the tefillin, it's like not a kabbalistic way to behave with the tefillin, like hang it up on a hook. So, your life is going to be, like, if, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. So, Dorshet Tamura, most of the people who Dorshet Tamura means either like pearls, or Dorshet Tamura is that they were like fragrances, or else it means like a knot, like that they cut through the knots, and like a difficult signal. Dorshet Tamura, when you play at that, you become the negative. Like your life will be suspended, so that's totally true. In other words, he said, the tone is the life. And so they're saying, so is life, and if you play at William, your life will be suspended. It's like that the person who is told it's filling, so his life will be suspended. So the question is, how can Rebbe hang up the tefillin, and it doesn't sound like it's so good to do? So no kasha, how about Rasua, how about Tzitzis? So no kasha. Where's bad news, if I hang it by the Rasua, that's very disrespectful. How about Tzitzis, if I hang it by the Bayit, or the Bayit is on the peg, I don't know, whatever, maybe a thick little peg, so that's not so disrespectful, that's permissible. The Ibai Deim, or else I can say, Lo Shna Rasua, Lo Shna Tzitzis Asur. Or else I can say they're both prohibited. The Chitala Rebbe the Kista, when Rebbe hung it, he hung it in his bag. So when it was, he saw Rebbe in his bag, so he hung the bag, you're allowed to hang it. You have to remind the name, right? If Rebbe's hanging the bag, why do you even mention it so much? Now the same as to buy a mouth to save the Torah, I might have thought that filling should be done like a safer Torah. Safer Torah should be left on a ledge, not hung, you know, not suspended. So, Kamash Malan. So he's teaching me that Rebbe you had in the bag, and you can hang it in the bag. Okay, Vamar of Kamina, he rated Rebbe. This is so Rebbe. Shigihe, he burped. This is during tefillah. In other words, he was davening Shemona Esrei, and I saw him. Shigihe, he burped. Lupihe, he yawned. Minitate, she sneezed. Barak, he spat. He says, Umamashreish Bedigo, and he took his garment to remove a louse from it. Aval, a louse from his flesh. Abaloyam itate, but when the talus fell off of him, he didn't grab the talus and put it back on again. Ukshahu mefahek, make sure I got this right. What's that, you want
me? Yeah.
What's that, you want me? Gihag or Gihag? Right, that's right. So Gihag. Yeah, Gihag is the burping, right. And the Gihag is the yawning, right. So he says, Oshahum Mephahik, yawning, Hayamaniach Edo Asantero, he put his hand on his chin. Now, Mepe, on this way, ask Shiloh from the following Bryce. And Bryce says, Amashmir Kolov Tfilato, Aruzim Tenewana. If a person, he's audible when he daven Shemona Esrei, that means he has little Amuna. Because if a person has Amuna, he knows a Kaddish Baruch Hu hears his Tfilo. And I spoke about this once in Chalashudas. In my book of Poskim, should I say the Tfilo block loud enough that I can hear it? Or should I even say it so quiet that I can't hear it? But certainly other people shouldn't hear it. I know some people daven Shemona Esrei, like you hear them across the whole room. He says, if a person like raises his voice in his tefillah, I raise them in V.A. Shekhar. It's like the V.A. Shekhar. It says, Yavahar Carmel, V.A. Shekhar were busy shouting. If a person burps or yawns in the Shemona Esrei, I raise them in Gasei HaRuach. That's very arrogant. That's going to be the question. If a person sneezes, we think that's a bad siman, and that's also a question. And the Bach has here
Yishomim, he says either Shehu Achran or Yishomim Nikar Shehu Bechor. He's like very detestable person. Harach betfilah tov, the person spits in his tefillah, he's a rach b'tnei melech, he's spitting in front of the king. So here we have a steerer between actions of Rebbe. We assume what Rebbe does is correct. Rebbe's Lutana, right, less the generous Sinaim, and he's yawning and burping and spitting and sneezing, and yet this b'raisa seems to say a lot of those things aren't correct. So b'shleim megahi lefai glokasha. So the yawning and the spitting, excuse me, the yawning and the burping and the yawning, that I can reconcile. Kan laonso, kan laritsono. When Rebbe did it, he couldn't help it. He had the urge, and he did it. Whereas the Bryce is saying that if I, on my own, I cause it on my own, then that's bad news. That's gasei aruch. That's arrogance. Element atesh amatatesh kasha. But the sneezing, that's a kasha. Rebbe sneezed, and the Bryce says if you sneeze, that's the siman ra. So the Gemara says matatesh amatatesh not in the kasha. The Gemara says there's no contradiction with two sneezing. Kami lamala kami lamata. You're talking about two different types of sneezing. When he said that he saw Rebbe matatesh and sneezed with the nose, when the Bryce is talking about sneezing, he's passing gas from the other end of the body. The Amar of Zera hanulta ivloi libe rahamuna. So Rav Zera says this matter. He says I either boily or ivlali. I took it in from the base bench of Amuna. Tekilali kikuli tamudoi, and it's like equal to me to all my learning. I'm so grateful for it. Hamet atesh betfilato siman yafelo. He says if a person sneezes in his tefillah, that's a wonderful siman for him. Shem sheosim lo nachat ruach milamata. The Gemara takes the sneezing pleasurable. Like you're liking the sneeze. Says you're getting nachas milamata. So the person sneezes in his tefillah, it's a semen just like they're doing in Nachas Ruach down here, so too in Shemayim they're doing in Nachas Ruach, and granting him what he requires. So he was happy with that lima because he would sneeze a lot. Rashi says, around the eighth narrow line, Rashi, Tkili kikuli tamudai, shkula lai b'chabiva l'fishay aragila hitate, he would always be sneezing. Ella, rak a rak kasha, but this is theory with spitting. Here we said that Rebbe spat in his tefillah, and yet the Braisa says that it's like spitting in front of a king, which is bad news. So is spitting okay or spitting not okay? So rak a rak nami lakasha. The Braisa says not a problem with spitting. Efshar kid Rabbi Yehuda, because it could be that it was like the way Rabbi Yehuda explains it. Dama Rabbi Yehuda, and you'll maybe feel that his dami lo roke mavliya b'talito. Rabbi Yehuda says that the person's davening and he has spit come up, so he should take it in his garment. You know, as bim talit na'ehu, it's a nice garment, mavliyoba afrak suto. He should be mavliya it in his afrak kesed. So afrak kesed, here Rashi learns, like his turban, the turban has like pieces coming down on both sides, so he'll use that. Ravina, so in other words, it means like this, that when Rebbe spat, he did it like you say, like in a handkerchief, so to speak. And when the Bryce says spitting, it's like spitting from the king, no that's the part that's objectionable. So let's see back up tomorrow, and then I'll pause it for two dots, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. He says, Rabina habakoya chorid Ravashi. Rabina was standing behind Ravashi, and Ravashi was davening. He's davening the rope, and Ravashi had some rope, some spittle. Hakila chore, he sent it in the direction of Ravina. He says, Amar lei, so he said to him, presumably after he finished davening, lo sabar lamar lahad Rabbi Yehuda, ma'avliyoba afraksuto, don't you hold what Rabbi Yehuda said, you're supposed to take your turban and spit it in there, what are you spitting in here? So Amar lei, ana anina da'atoy, I'm very sensitive about those things, I can't take spit in my turban, so that's why I had to do it that way. Okay, let's just wait one second. Now, there's another here something tomorrow. It has. Let me see it over here. One minute. How do we get it? Yeah.
You know, I can do a volition lap in the morning. And the worst case is that it could be a volition lap in the morning as well. All right. Any other questions? What's up?
Horrible thing. I got to move on to the front. Now, the last hour line. Tell me about, we learned the Brysa,
and Hashem Yitzhak Tobin of Lo Tzibro Shom Leon Sina, he's sleeping naked in his garments, in his palace. He says, Neinachol Tzibro Shom Leon Sina, he can't, even stick his hand out, and head out, it's so cold. Chotzeis B'tali Tzolatz Al Tzabro, the Kori Kriyishma. He's somehow able to, like, bunch the palace around his neck, and then to recite Kriyishma. It was Lassi Lassi between his head and his air book. He says, V'yeshalim Al Tzibro. Some say that he should, like, bunch the garment around his heart. So it was his idea that one part of your body shouldn't see the air, but it's either the head or the heart. The Tanakama, I mean, the Gomer with Erev, so according to the Tanakama, how can they do that? Like, Nebo is hard, see the Erev, it's not going to work. Sama, Nebo with Erev is hard. That kind of holds that Nebo with Erev is permissible. Okay, Amar Abuna with Yochanan, and how is the border between a foe? If a person is looking in the dirty alleyway, like what's there, it's like open sewage, the Nias has all seen the Torah Kishma. He put his hand on his mouth and recites Kishma on his dirty place. Amarly Rav Tista, Elohim, Amarly Rav Yochanan, the Kuli Elohim Sayat the Lake. So Rav Kuli put his halakha in Rav Yochanan. Rav Tista said, and Rav Yochanan himself said this halakha, I would not listen to it, because it's so astounding. He gets to Amri, others say, Amar Rav Abba Rechana, the Shubham Lady, and how does the Lord of Tuna vote? That the Shubham Lady said, he's walking in the dirty alleyways, and he has to go up to the Kori Kishma. Put your mouth on your hand and you say Kishma. Amarly Rav Tista, so Rav Tista said to this, Elohim, Amarly, Rav Shubham Lady Kuhai, and Rav Shubham Lady himself said this to me, well, so you know, I wouldn't listen to it. Yeah, the Torah says, Niyamar Rav Huna Hashi, the Rav Huna really have this cool up, and say, you're putting your hand on your mouth and you're good? Amar Rav Huna said, Tana Chacham Asur Nubo Mekomatino, that the Tana Chacham is not allowed to remain in a very frustrating place, and be Sheyev Shol Lomo, the Lee Yuron Torah. Tana Chacham is always thinking of his Torah, so he can't stand like an outward, sewage or something. He can't stay there because he's going to think Torah. So here we're saying that Rav Huna said, I can recite Shema, just cover my mouth. There he says, I can't even stay in a place. He says, don't think it. So the words of Lokashim, two things, Rav Huna, Kanva Ome, the second thing is Kanva Ome. I'm just hanging out there. I shouldn't stick around that place. Kanva Mahalik, the first halakha was, I'm a halak, I'm just passing through. So that he can cover the mouth. Now, Niyam are Rav Yochanan and Hashi. So now the other version is that Rav Yochanan is the one who made the statement. Rav Rav Barakat on Rav Yochanan, 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 Rav Yochanan said you can think about Torah anywhere except the bathhouse and the Beit HaKisei. After the Rav Yochanan said you can just cover your mouth and say Shema, so if he came to Hakanami, come to Omer, come to Mahale, maybe say I have a simple answer to that question. When he says that, the Beit HaKisei from the Beit HaKisei there, America, you stay staying there, here you're Mahale, like we said before. He needs it's true. Bahavad Yivau, Halakha Azu, Bajra, Rav Yochanan, Yivau was following Rav Yochanan, the Halakha Kari, Kriya Shema. And Rav Yivau was reciting Shema as he walked. Back to the border between the when he came to the dirty alleyway, Rav Yivau stopped. He says, I'm going to Rav Yochanan, and then when they passed through it, he said to Rav Yochanan, hey, come on, Hadar, which point should I go back to the Shema? And how he can interrupt the Shema? It's a different thing. So Amalei, if Shahita, you hear the Gorin Kula, Kuzer the Rosh. If you delay so much, you can repeat the whole Shema. Let's say it takes you 3 minutes to say Shema, so you give them 3 minutes, you got to go to the beginning. So Mela, it doesn't seem like there's a difference between walking through, like that last instance, Rav Yochanan describes the way that the Rav Yivau was conducting himself. So the Gemara says, no, Hashi Kabbalah, the deep most clearly, I don't hold from this Kormah about walking through. You could have covered up your mouth. And you got the Sphirla, but according to you, you held that you can't walk through the alleyway and say Shema, covering your mouth. And Shahit is a little more cool, it goes over the road. Then, you have to be closer to the road. So again, Rav Yochanan and the other Rav Shulamay, who both subscribe to that, you think that when you're staying in a place, or passing through a place. Tanikabai to Rav Huna, Tanikabai to Rav Huna, the right to hold this opinion. Tanikabai to Rav Huna, and all the world is to the Pope, and he has no TV, so I'm pretty sure. To learn the price exclusively, it can be more than really pricey, and cover his mouth with a fresh mouth. Tanikabai to Rav Tista, to learn the price of the other way around, and support Rav Tista, Rav Tista is the one who doesn't do that. They allow the world to the Pope, though you cross your trunk, that you should recite Shema, although, oh, no, Shema Yakure, Kuban, if he was reciting Shema, now he comes to a place that Shema see, Jose. He says, he has to stop. Lo pasach mai. What if he doesn't stop and he continues reading Shema, even though he should not be reading Shema according to his opinion? So Amar Yashua, Rebbe Shmuley, a lot of people there, Gamani, I gave him laws that they don't live with, meaning, like, in words, I gave him laws, and even these laws that I follow too properly, they're like misconstrued misnomers. And the Rashi Amar, Poim Ashtiyav Mekabla Yashav, the word of people who pull Aveir Mekabla Yashav, Rashi learns they do Aveir like easily, like it means like they
Averot, the Tosfos learned that they get without bathing easily. Rabbi Avraham says from here, the Dvar Hashem Bazah, the word of God is disgrace. Okay, the Pasak Masro, if he interrupts what's the halacha, Amri Bo Alam Tavir, the Dvar says Tarifini. But the Dvar says Dabar is Ebor. This Ebor you'll be our Kyabi. But let me see what you want to be it. Okay, Abu turns to the bottom of the Sapalma base. Amri Kunabar, I can't let you with the Pulo Manav, who taught a folk to Kriya Shema. And his talus was like tied to him on his loins to recite Shema. In other words, he's not dressed, but he's covered up from the waist down to recite Shema. Tani Nami Haki, I can't let you all. Shall beg him, shall or shall sack him, Roman Ham, who taught a folk to Kriya Shema. Have fun with something else. Haval, with Tila, Shema 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 Shema. He has to like cover his heart. There's a higher standard for people. Well, that's all we have to talk about tonight. Okay, Ashkenaz. Sure. Fern, I'll see you. Bye bye.